chapter 4 of Hebrews, in verse 11, it says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Have you ever used a GPS device to get somewhere and it sent you to the wrong location, or actually sent you in circles? This happened to me this week. It was so frustrating. I was in Louisville, Kentucky, a city that I'm not familiar with at all. There's all these one-way streets and all that going on. And me and my buddy's driving, and we want to get out of the city, and we want to go to someplace very important to us, Bass Pro Shops, okay? So we want to get to Bass Pro Shops. Well, he says, "I don't know how to get there." So I said, "Don't worry, I got GPS on my phone." So I say, "Get me to Bass Pro Shops," all right? So it charts out this course, and I say, "Okay, let's go." And it tells us to take a right, and so we go down this road, and we take a right, and then we keep going, and then it says, "Take another right," and so we go down, and we take another right, and then it says, "Take another right," and then we go down there, and we're on the same road that we were just on. I'm like, "Wait a minute here, something's wrong. Something is wrong here." Then another time, yeah. Exactly. That's right. It happens, right? We know these things don't work all the time, and they're not very perfect. Then it finally got us across where we needed to go, and where we thought we needed to go. And it took us about 6 miles down this highway. And then it says, "Exit here, and then take go on 65 south." Well, we were just going on 65 north for 8 miles, and now it's sending us back the very direction. So it was all messed up. And that's what happens with these devices. However, chapter 4 tells us of a destination that we definitely want to go to. A place of God's rest. God's eternal rest for us. We talked about this rest last week, and how wonderful it is, and how that is God's plan for our lives, that we would be guided by Him into that glorious rest. Well, He wants to make sure that we use His GPS in getting to that place of rest. Now, His GPS never fails. His GPS is perfect, and it will always guide us to the location that He wants us to go. And that location is also the location that we should be careful to want to go ourselves, that we should give careful attention to, this wonderful place of eternal rest. We are encouraged to give careful attention as we journey to our destination of God's eternal rest. Then the author reveals three devices God uses to guide us to our destination. It is by God's grace. Now, please remember this as we go through Hebrews. In Hebrews, there's a lot of attention given to the responsibility of man this journey to God's rest. I don't want us to lose sight, however, of the fact that it is by God's grace that we reach this journey. Okay? It is by God's grace that we reach our eternal destination. And it is by God's grace that He gives us these devices as a sort of GPS that guides us on our journey to our eternal rest. Now, do you ever feel like you are on the right? Do you ever feel like you're not on the right track for your life? Do you ever feel like life's, you're just not going where you want to go? Are you confident that your destination is God's eternal rest? Can you say that, yes, I am on this path to God's eternal rest? Christian, are there times in your life when you feel like you have drifted in the wrong direction in your life, or you are just going around in circles? Well, I want you to understand something. God wants all of us to feel confident we are headed on the right course, on the course He has for us. And He uses the devices described in this passage to give us the confidence that we are on the right course. That's what I want you guys to understand. That's what God wants us to understand, I believe, from this passage today. That He will guide us, that He has some devices for us to guide us into His rest. And that if we give careful attention to these resources that He's giving us, we will be confident our whole journey that we are headed towards the destination we want to go to, God's eternal rest for us. Okay? So let's take a look at this passage and see how God guides us to His rest. First of all, in verse 11, he makes comment here. Let's read it again. It says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." Now, the first thing I want us to understand is God guides us to His rest by teaching us from the example of others. God guides us to His rest by teaching us from the example of others. Now, the writer of Hebrews has described Israel's unbelief and rebellion against God as an example of a people who missed God's rest. They missed God's rest. These people failed to enter the promised land of Canaan because they refused God's guidance in their lives. They refused God's guidance in their lives. We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school. So what we see here is God giving us an example of others in order to guide us in our path to rest. Parents, you do this a lot, don't you? You do this with your children. You say, "Look, I want you to learn from what so-and-so did. Look what happened to them when they disobeyed or when they did this bad thing. It was hurtful for them, and it wasn't good." And so God does the same thing with us. He gives us examples, both of good and bad examples, of people who either obeyed God or disobeyed God, to help us in our path, in walking down our path. The scriptures are full of these examples where God tells us. That's why we have these accounts of all the kings. Luke is guiding us through the Bible reading through 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles. Sometimes that can get laborious. And sometimes we may even wonder, why in the world do we have all these descriptions of all the kings and what they did? Well, it's because there are great examples in there for us. Those examples of when a king was good and he did right in the sight of God, how God blessed them. And when a king was bad and disobeyed God, how God allowed them to be punished and be taken captive. So there's good examples in the Bible for us to learn from. Those examples have been recorded by God's providence and preserved in His Word so that we can learn by the example of others, and so that God can guide us by those example of others. So we see here God giving us an example of others in this passage in order to guide us in our path to His rest. God in His Word records these examples of others, both good and bad, to guide us in life's journey. Jesus did this as he told the parable of the prodigal son. You remember the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus told about this son who decided that he wanted to go off on his own, and regardless of what the will of his father was, he was going to do his own thing. He was going to do what he wanted to do. He asked the father to give him all of his inheritance that he had coming, and then he went off into the world and disregarded what the will of the father was. Well, he paid the consequences for that. He ended up in a hog pen, totally broke, no money, no food, and wondering how he got in that position. Well, he decided that he was going to try and get out of that mess that he was in, and he did the right thing after that. He decided he was going to go back to the Father. He decided he was going to go back and ask for forgiveness and humble himself before the Father and humble himself to his will. And of course, we see that the Father, as an example of Christ's willingness to forgive us and love us, was willing to forgive the Son of all he had done and preserve him as one of his sons. And so there's an excellent example of Jesus teaching us by the example of another. Jesus wanted to convey to us that he loves us so much that even though we disregarded his will for our lives and we sinned against him, that because of his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, he would be willing to forgive us if we would come back to him and humble ourselves to his will. That's what we have in the Lord. And he taught us that by the example of another. He taught us that by the example of another. I'm so grateful that God guides us to that eternal rest by the use of the examples of others. Let's start learning things the easy way. Let's start learning things the easy way. Let's look at the example of others and learn from their good deeds or bad deeds instead of having to learn it the hard way. A lot of times we do that, don't we? We're so stubborn, we're so thick-headed that we have to learn things the hard way. But if we will take the guidance of God and learn from the example of others, then we can learn some things the easy way, or easier way, I should say. Okay? Now, look at verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, this is a pretty easy one for me to make a point out of. God guides us to his rest through his word. God guides us to his rest through his word. Now, I find it interesting how the writer abruptly gives a dissertation on the word of God at this point. It is clear that we are being exhorted to give careful attention to the word of God for guidance as we journey towards God's rest. The reasons for us giving such careful attention to God's word are found in the writer's description of it. Look how God's word is described here. First, it is described as living. Now, this means that God's word never loses its ability to guide us to God's rest. It never loses its ability to guide us. Jesus declared in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away." You see, God's word is always going to be effective. It's living. It doesn't die. It's eternal. It will always be effective in what it was designed to do. And what it was designed to do was guide you to God's rest for you. That's what it was designed to do. And it never loses its effectiveness in doing that. It will never lose its effectiveness. It is a living document. When you read it, it will speak to you. And that's what we see next in this description. In this description, it says, we are told that God's word is powerful. Powerful. God's word is fully capable of guiding you to the right destination. It's powerful. It in Isaiah 55:11, God says of his word, it shall not return void to me, but shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So God's word is so powerful that it will accomplish exactly what it was designed to do. And like I said before, it was designed to guide you to God's rest for you. And so it is powerful. It will do what he has called it to do. If you rely on God's word to guide you, it will. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning a little bit, about how God guides people. And as you grow in your walk with the Lord and you mature, at first, you don't have a lot of knowledge of the scriptures when you come to Christ, maybe, because maybe you weren't brought up in a home where the Bible was studied. And so at first, you don't have a lot of guidance from God's word because you don't know a lot of it. Well, the Holy Spirit helps you in your guidance, and he guides you to get into the word. And then he guides you as you read the word to understand it. And the more you understand God's word, the more he uses his word to guide your life. And now, as a mature, a believer that is more mature, you will find yourself being guided by God's words in his Bible, in the Bible, more than you are necessarily from a feeling that you get from the Lord. Okay? And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be totally guided by his word. That's why we see this so abruptly put into this passage. He wants to guide you into his rest, mainly by his word. He wants you to understand how living it is, how powerful it is, and how complete it is in what it does. That's what we see in the next phrases. The next phrases really describe the scope of God's impact, God's word's impact on our lives. Think about it for a minute. It says, first of all, I want to say something about being sharper than a two-edged sword. Okay? God's word is very effective, isn't it? It's very effective. Now, in Romans time, the soldiers, they carried two-edged swords. So they could cut someone coming and going, or, you know, they could cut them this way and that way. Whatever way they were swinging the sword, they could cut someone. Now, that sword was only as effective as it was sharp. You ever use a dull knife to try and cut something or butcher something up? It's horrible. It's horrible. When I butcher up something, the first thing I do is sharpen the knife. Even if I sharpened it before, I want that blade to be super sharp so that my job of butchering is done effectively and it is done with the least amount of effort. And it will also help in staying safe. A sharper knife is actually safer than a dull one. But God's word is extremely effective in guiding us. And that's why that word sharper is used here. That's why I hope that you'll see that when you read in the Bible, you can look at some of these verbs that are used and really gain some instruction from why they are used. Why they are used, okay? So that's why that word sharper is used. The next phrase is describe the scope of God's impact on our lives. God's word. It impacts every part of our being. Every part. Our will, our desires, our thoughts, our intentions. It impacts our whole person. The whole person is impacted by God's word. You're not just your intellect, not just your will, but your desires, your passions. Everything is impacted by God's word. It's so thorough in its guidance for your life that it will affect every aspect of your being. God's word can convict us of our sins, but it also can comfort our soul. That's the scope of it. It can go from one thing to conviction to another comfort. It covers the whole gamut of our needs, of what we absolutely have to have in guiding us to that rest that God has for us. So God's word is extremely effective because it impacts our total person. It can motivate us to endure the trials of life and restore us to the joy of our salvation. Martin Luther said, "The Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me." So true. During a Sunday school class, the question was asked, "In your time of discouragement, what is your favorite scripture?" A young man said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 23:1. A middle-aged woman said, "God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Psalm 46:1. Another woman said, "In this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world." John 16:33. Then an old Mr. John, who was 80 years old, with white head of hair and dark black skin, stood up and said with as much strength as he could muster, "It says, and it came to pass," 85 times in the Bible. The class started to laugh a little, thinking that old Mr. John lacked the memory and was getting the best, and it was getting the best of him. When the snickering stopped, he said, "At 30, I lost my job with 6 hungry mouths and a wife to feed. I didn't know how I would make it. At 40, my eldest son was killed overseas in the war. It knocked me down. At 50, my house burned to the ground. Nothing was saved out of the house. At 60, my wife of 40 years got cancer. It slowly ate away at her. We cried together many a night on our knees in prayer. At 65, she died. I still miss her today. The agony I went through in each of these situations was unbelievable. I wondered where God was, but each time I looked in the Bible and I saw one of those 85 verses that said, 'And it came to pass.' I felt that God was telling me my pain and my circumstances were also going to pass and that God would get me through it." That's how awesome God's word is. Even a phrase, "And it came to pass." God, by His Holy Spirit, can use that word, use His word to encourage someone through the most difficult times of their lives. That's how powerful it is. That's how effective it is. That's the scope of God's word. And that's what we need to see. So let's give careful attention to God's word so it can guide us to our eternal rest. And then finally, God guides us to His rest through His infinite knowledge. Look at verse 13. It says, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to His eyes, to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." You see, we're told about God's omniscience here. We're told about God's infinite knowledge here. And there's a reason for this. The writer is trying to encourage his audience by pointing out that the struggles they are facing are not outside the attention of the Lord. The struggles they are facing are not outside the attention of the Lord. R.C. Sproul wrote this. He said, "There are many things in my life that I do not want to put under the gaze of Christ. Yet I know there is nothing hidden from Him. He knows me better than my wife knows me, and yet He loves me. This is the most amazing thing of all about God's grace. It would be one thing for Him to love us if we could fool Him into thinking that we were better than we actually are. But He knows better. He knows all there is to know about us, including those things that could destroy our reputation. He is minutely and acutely aware of every skeleton in our closet, and He still loves us." I think that's important. I'm so thankful for a God who sees us, who sees everything about us, yet He still loves us. However, we must understand that God, in His understanding of our struggles, also holds us responsible for how we react to His guidance. He understands our struggles, but He also holds us responsible for how we react to His guidance. So let's rely on God's infinite knowledge to guide us into His rest. Let's not resist His guidance, even when we face these struggles of life. You can be guided by God. You can be guided by God into His eternal rest for your soul. As you learn from the example of others, pay careful attention to His Word and rely on His infinite knowledge, God, by His grace, will make sure you enter that destination of rest. Let these devices be your GPS that lead you into God's rest.